साधु कार्य दिनको समन्त चक्रवालेषु अत्रागच्छन्तु देवता सद्धम्मं मुनिराजस् सुनन्तु सग्गमुक्तं धम्मसवनकालो अयं पतन्ता धम्मसवनकालो अयं पतन्ता धम्मसवनकालो अयं पतन्ता नमो तस्स भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतु अरहतु सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स द्वेमी भिक्खवी तथागतं अभाविक्खन्ति कथमी द्वे यो च अभासितं अलपितं तथागतेन भासितं लपितं तथागतेनातिदीपेति यो च भासितं लपितं तथागतेन अभासितं अलपितं तथागतेनातिदीपेति इमे को भिक्खवे द्वे तथागतं अभाविक्खन्ति इति Dear Nayaka Hamduru and other resident monks of the Vihara. Dear friends, one more time today you have gathered to the Vihara. This is the, I believe, 12th time during this Vasa season to listen to one more of the Dhamma talks offered during this Vasa season. Today's Dhamma talk is, you know, every Dhamma talk is sponsored by one particular family. Most of you have already sponsored. And today's Dhamma talk is sponsored by a very close Vihara member family, Dinesh and Ursula, along with their three kids, Samadhi, Siddharth, and Adish. So this family moved to Houston not very long ago, maybe 5-6 years, not more than that. So during this short period of time, compared to most of our existence here, so I have been here for 28 years, we have known very well that this is a very, very beautiful family. It's a beautiful family because mother and father are very much united, and they have three brilliant, beautiful children. They are doing in the Dhammapasa very well. And I do believe that they are studying so well at the high schools as well. They respect the Buddha's teaching. One great thing about here is that Ursula is a very broad-minded lady. While maintaining her own religious beliefs and practices. She also has learned to respect the Buddha's teaching. I remember last time we met in Sri Lanka, both of you and your children enjoyed the trip and enjoyed the food, and you had a very good time there. So it's a very, very beautiful family. Dinesh, of course, comes from a very good Buddhist family in Sri Lanka. Her mother I have met here and as well as in Sri Lanka. They have instilled great Buddhist values in him. He's a product of those great people behind him, particularly his parents. So you are participating in Vihara activities, and you are practicing generosity and charity towards the temple with loving thoughts. And this particular occasion, you volunteered to sponsor this particular Dhamma Desana with several purposes. One of those purposes is to transfer merits to Dinesh's father, Mr. A.T. Jayalath, who passed away 10/21/2010. That is actually exactly 8 years ago. Tomorrow is a death anniversary, but today in Sri Lanka. So when I mentioned about this sponsorship, as he immediately said that, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to transfer merits to my departed father. So we will transfer merits to him. At the same time, Ursula's father, Adam, and Ursula's mother, Veronica, believe, even though I have not seen them, they believe they are great people. And also to offer merits to all of those and all of their relatives here, as well as in the traveling of the samsara, and to invoke blessing upon all of you, and particularly to invoke blessing upon your children. So these are the purposes. And at the end of this Dhamma Desana, we will transfer merits to them and fulfill our obligations. And now it is time for us to listen to this Dhamma Desana. The stanza I uttered previously at the beginning means that Buddha did not want others to misinterpret his teaching. Buddha said, those who interpret the Buddha's teaching in the wrong way are accumulating a lot of bad karmas. Abhasitang bhaseti. What the Buddha did not teach, some believe that Buddha actually taught. In the same way, what the Buddha taught, actually, some people would interpret them as something that Buddha did not teach. Buddha did not like that. I remember one of the sutras has pointed out that in future, my teaching will be distorted in this way, in many ways. Therefore, Buddha asked committed monks to protect the Buddha's teaching. We started this Dhamma Desana last time. It was given in Sinhala. And today we will continue this Dhamma Desana about misinterpretations, misconceptions, and wrong views about Dhamma. That will help us practice the Dhamma in the most meaningful way. And that would be a blessing for us as well as for others. First point, in Sri Lanka we hear, and generally we hear, some people speak, this also connects to what I said last time, Buddha asks us to think about our own bodies as impermanent, it's suffering, so that nothing to be protected in this body. We should not make an effort to take care of this body. Rather, we have to meditate on anicca, dukkha and anatta. In one life, in future lives, not to have this suffering. In other words, a lot of people in society believe that Buddha ignored an individual's physical and mental well-being. In some Dhamma talks we hear, everything is impermanent, this body is impermanent, therefore what is to take from this body? Accumulate merits and to be born in a better place after death. This is the teaching I always heard when I was in Sri Lanka and sometimes over the online. Of course, there is a partial truth in that statement. Buddha asks us not to regard this world as a permanent place, not to continue gratifying our senses to the fullest, because that would always lead us to misery. But it does not mean that Buddha asked either a layperson or an ordained member of the ordained community to ignore a person's mental and physical well-being. I don't know from where this misconception arose. Maybe it's deep-rooted in the teaching of this anicca, dukkha, anatta. Anicca, dukkha, anatta are inevitable truths in the world. But the Buddha never wanted us to ignore our physical and mental well-being. In fact, the Buddha was the first teacher in the world to talk about individual physical well-being and mental well-being. King Kosala is a very interesting person. He was a great friend of the Buddha. Whenever he had a problem, he sought Buddha's support, guidance. Even when he went to capture a kind of a robber or something, for instance, Angulimala, he came to the Buddha and requested the blessing. One time, some of you may have heard this story. King Kosal came to the Buddha and he was sitting there, but he could not breathe very well. He had some breathing difficulties. Then Buddha asked why. The king said, I ate a large amount of food. Buddha did not advise directly. One of the Buddha's strategies is not to give a direct answer. Rather, he uttered an stanza, which means that the person who seeks physical and mental comfort eats little and live a long and healthy life. That was such a beautiful stanza that he was fascinated with it. You know, those days we did not have the cell phone recording or anything, voice recorders, that the king had behind him his bodyguard. You know, kings all the time had bodyguards like today. So he summoned one of his bodyguards and asked, you are the voice recorder. You learn this stanza from the Buddha. I will pay you extra for overtime work. Whenever I sit to eat, you have to recite this stanza from behind. Then I will be reminded of the Buddha and I will stop eating. He did that. And within a short period of time, King started losing weight. One day, he had become slim. He had regained his strength. His huge belly has disappeared. Touching his limbs, he praises the Buddha. The Buddha helps me not only in this world, next world, but also in this world. The Buddha gave the same advice to ordained disciples. One monk, Buddha advised one day, "Look at me. I am healthy, I am strong." These are the direct translations of the Pali verse Buddha used. "I am healthy and strong because I eat little. Ekasana bhojanang bunjami." That's the word Buddha said. Ekasana bhojanang. Ekasana means I sit at one place. One sitting. Eat with one sitting. I mean, you don't sit on your dining chair more than one time. Ekasana bhojanang bunjami means I take only one meal. Look at me. I am healthy and strong. You also eat ekasana bhojana, only one meal a day. Lot of monks listened to the Buddha, but one monk said, you know, the rebellious monks are everywhere, right? Even those days and today's, every time you have these monks. One monk said, "No, I cannot eat one meal, it's not enough for me. I want at least two meals." Okay. That's fine. This is the way you can eat two meals. You know, the meal you eat one time, divide it into two portions. Eat one portion in the morning and other portion in the evening. So, that is what today scientists say, calorie restriction. Eat little and live long. Scientists have now proved what the Buddha said. Experiments done with animals, particularly with dogs, have shown that those who control eating, particularly dogs, underfed dogs, live up to 40% longer than other dogs. That is why I give little food to Sati and Gutkar. But you have to give good nutrition. Okay. With good nutrition, you eat little. It expands your life. It postpones aging and age-related diseases. Buddha has taught that so many years ago, 2,600 years ago. Now scientists know that. Now, this example shows that you have the right and you must take steps to take care of your health. This shows that you should not ignore your physical well-being. If Buddha ignored physical well-being of something, Buddha would not give this advice to people. You are not born to be, actually, of course, everybody is going to get old and everybody is going to die. But according to Buddha's teaching, we can postpone aging and age-related diseases. One strategy is to control eating. You have to take care of your body. When you take care of your body, it is for the well-being of yourself and its well-being for the others. We have a very interesting utterance when we eat. Buddha has told us to utter this istansa whenever we sit. That istansa is Patisankaro niso pindapatang patisevami nevadavaya na madaya na mantanaya na vibhusanaya yavadeva imasa kayasa titiyayapanaya vihinsu paratya brahmacharya nukahaya iti purananca vedanam patihankami navanca vedanam upadesami yatra chame bhavisati anavachatacha pasu viharo chati. Even though we don't say it aloud, internally we think about it. This is the purpose of our eating. In this stanza, we have very interesting utterances, sections. I eat because I want Purananca Vedanam Patihankami. What is Vedana? Vedana means pain. Why do we get pain? Because we get sick. Okay. One purpose of eating is to prevent and avoid the diseases that I already have. For instance, if I have this histamine intolerance, I have the right to eat what is good for me. I should not eat everything you bring to the temple. Purananca Vedanam Patihankami. Okay, I have to get rid of my diseases that I have already. Navancha Vedanang na Upadesami. I eat not to cause new diseases for my body. So we all have to be very careful when we eat. If I eat this, will that make me sick? Vedana is pain. Pain means sickness. Sickness causes pain. Okay. Then I must eat carefully in such a way that not to make my body sick. Yatra chme bhavisati, that is the most important word. What is yatra? Yatra is usually a ship. Yatra. In a modern sense, your yatra could be your car, your SUV, your vehicle. This yatra, if it has a low tire pressure, it has an engine problem, do you drive it? Your yatra is the most important possession that you have. This body is your yatra. This body is my yatra. This yatra sinks if I do not maintain this yatra very well. I have a mission. We all have a mission to go to the other side of the shore. If this yatra has all diseases, engine problems, all kinds of problems, leaking, it sinks. Therefore, if there are any problem or damage, first we have to repair it. We have to maintain it very well. Oil change, filter change, maintenance. All kinds of things should be done to this engine to keep it. Otherwise, we cannot cross to the other side. We sink. Buddha has asked to regard our body in the same way. But make sure that not to show that you should not. Na madaya, na mandanaya, na vibhusanaya. Not to make our body appear attractive to others. Not that. Not to build muscles. But for well-being and health. This message is such an important message. that not only monks, but the lay people also should follow. You have to ask when you eat something, will this help this yatra to run smoothly? Will this increase my blood pressure? Will this increase my sugar? Will this increase my weight? Will this cause numerous health issues? Sometimes this yummy, yummy junk food children eat. You believe that we have to be very wisely, we have to be very careful about this. Some students, some children have behavior problems not because they are naturally behaving badly. That is not the reason. Sometimes the food they consume. Sometimes we blame sugar. But the culprit should not be sugar. Culprit should be food preservatives and artificial food colors. Now, if you check, if you go to Google and type artificial food colors, behavior problems, danger, you will see that the children have all kinds of behavior problem because of this artificial food color. But that's not the only reason, but there are other reasons. At the same time, this reason also main thing. Therefore, we have to eat carefully and correctly, and that is what Buddha said. You know, during the Buddha's time, perhaps the only bad way of eating was eating too much. They did not have all kinds of additives those days. They did not have all kinds of junk food those days. But probably the worst and perhaps the only bad way of eating was eating too much. Buddha asked you not to do that and taking care of your body. Therefore, it is of paramount importance for every Buddhist, monk or nun, or layperson, layman or laywoman, to pay careful attention to your physical and mental well-being. If anybody says that Buddha ignored that, that is a terrible distortion of the Buddha's teaching. Well-being is a very, very important topic. So we finished one. Let's come to the next point. One more misinterpretation that you find in the Buddha's teaching is a misinterpretation of one of the five precepts, third precepts. Kamesu micchachara viramanasika padan samadhyami. This has been so much misinterpreted that I saw somewhere the children, somebody has said, why a child should say this stanza? This is not relevant to a child. That is a terrible misconception, wrong interpretation. We need to understand the exact meaning of kamesu. Importantly, kamesu is not a singular word. Kamesu is a plural word. Kame, kamami, kamasming are the three singular words. And kamesu is the plural. That means, in Sinhala, kama yehi nevei, kama yanhi. That, if you say kama yehi, that could be different, but this is kama yanhi. What is kama means? It's a very, very important word. This occurs and recurs in the Sutra Pitaka over and over again. Buddha's first teaching, Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutra, Buddha used this word kama. Buddha identified tanha in three forms. Tanha means desire. What are those three tanhas? Kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. Okay. What is this kama means? Kama tanha. Actually, Sigmund Freud is the first person who misinterpreted this. Kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. The Buddha's first teaching. Sigmund Freud read this from a translation. Arthur Schopenhauer was Sigmund Freud's teacher, German teacher, Arthur Schopenhauer. Schopenhauer had read Buddhist scriptures in French. Those days, not many translations were available, but he read it in French. So, what he did was, he read this translation of this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutra, Kama Tanha. Freud, with little evidence, just with the translation, thought this kama means sexual misconduct. Kama Tanha means desire for sexual gratification. And then Sigmund Freud developed his theory of human sexuality. Desire is at the very bottom. Some of you may have heard about id, ego and superego. It means at the bottom. The human being's ugly side, desire to gratify senses, where sexuality is predominant. But when Buddha taught that kama tanha, Buddha did not mean desire for sexual gratification. Rather, it is a desire for sensual gratification. These two words are different. In other words, kamesu micchachara veramani, when you say, I observe the precepts not to go to the extreme in sensual gratification. If we change this sensual to sexual, as a terrible misunderstanding. What is sensual gratification? What are the senses? Chakku, sota, gana, jiva, kaya, mana. Mana itself is recognized in the Buddha's teaching as a sense. Eye, ear, nose, mouth, body, and the mind. We have all these senses. Any individual who goes to the extreme in gratifying these senses is a person who falls into this category of kamesu micchachara. In a simple sense, a child likes to eat ice cream. This child cannot control the desire to control eat ice cream. A child is obsessed with ice cream. Continue to eat ice cream. Kamesu micchachara. Kamesu micchachara means addiction, in other words. Addictions come in many forms. Addiction to sleeping, addiction to thinking, it is mana, desire to gratify mana, going to extreme. Addictions to food, addiction to internet, addiction to games, addiction to TV. One of my students said recently, her grandmother, at least 8 hours a day, what she does is watching TV. Same channel, every day, sitting on the same place. Addiction. People have so many things to do, but they do the same thing over and over again. Kamesu micchachara. Now, for instance, The problem here is that it's an addiction, but people want to get rid of it, but they cannot. That's a characteristic. So they always think, oh yes, this is bad for me, I want to stop. But unfortunately, they cannot stop because they don't have courage, determination, human potential. Today in the Sutra study class, we learned about the potential, human skill. Okay, so you have to rely on your skill, your ability. Okay, we cannot blame our karma. We cannot blame stars. This is my bad luck. Okay, so this is a bad season. Horoscope is bad for that is why. You cannot blame anybody. The Buddha said, human strength, human potential. You can change your destiny. You have the potential, ability, and you need to develop a skill to change your destiny. And all kinds of addictions. And of course, that sexual addiction is one of them. That's one of the worst addictions. People, look at people who fall from grace. Overnight fall from grace. People. Those who had that addiction. So, it is a major thing, but it's not the only thing. Therefore, hereafter, when we recite that stanza, today we did that. Okay? You know, it's mindfully. The mindfulness is one of the important things in Buddha's teaching. When we recite these things, we should not recite them like parrots. We have to think about the meaning. When we say kamesamichachara, I make a strong determination to get rid of addictions. Certain things that I practice too much in our life. Okay. Make sure that, and the younger generation needs to remember that, you go a long way in this country. Not because you are naturally brilliant, not because you are talented. You can go a long way because you are disciplined. Kamesa Michachara means you are disciplined. Certain things that you like to do. But at the same time, Buddha never limited your freedom by saying, don't do what you like to do. Buddha never said that, but Michachara, Sammachara and Michachara, they are different. Michachara means practicing the wrong way. Sammachara means practicing the right way. If you like to play a game, of course you can. But if you continue to play one more game and one more game, now for instance, you have options. You have to finish a homework and you have to play a game. If you believe that, oh, first I play the game and next if I find time, I do the homework. Then you are practicing this kamesa michachara. You are going to extreme in that way. You want to gratify your senses. You know, almost always you are in trouble. This is also Buddha's middle path, right? Upo ante anupagamma. Majjhima patipada tathagatena abhisambuddha. Buddha never went to any extreme. But Buddha placed himself in the middle. Buddha's teaching is in the middle. What are the two extremes that we found in the Buddha's time? One extreme is self-denial. Self-mortification. You should not have anything in this world, even your eating food and your material, your cloth. Some people never wore clothes. Because you have to suffer right now in anticipation of a better world after death. That is one extreme, is self-denial. What's the other extreme? Yava jive sukang jive shranang krutva krutam pibet. gratify your senses to the fullest as long as you live, because when this body is ready to ashes, nothing will come back. Without falling into any of these extremes, Buddha taught, Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadam samadhyami. I gratify my senses, of course. Lay people, if you want to watch a movie, you can watch it. If you like to eat something, you can eat it. Children, if you like to play a game or play outside, you can play it. But I must be aware of my limits. If I exceed that, I fall into that category. And the more we do it, the more it becomes an addiction. When you become an addiction, it's difficult to get it off. Therefore, always look at this kamesu micchachara in this angle and from this viewpoint. Okay, so we come to, I think we have time to discuss one more thing. The word puja. What does this puja mean? There are two kinds of pujas. What are these two kinds of pujas? Amisa puja, Patipatti puja. But now it looks like, particularly in Sri Lankan society, Amisa puja has arrogated in such a highest position among some people that Pratipatti puja has ignored completely. People believe that Amisa puja is the vehicle to go to the Nibbana. Amisa puja is the vehicle to be born in the next life as a deva or human. Pratipatti puja has little been stressed nowadays. I remember when we had this, when we were living in the older residential hall of building, one lady, this is not common, not only in Sri Lankan community, this is common in Asian communities. This lady came and she had kind of a sickness, okay? And she regarded the Buddha as a god. She bought so many offerings to the Buddha, huge bag of rice and all kinds of things, and she offered all of them to the Buddha. And she was praying, okay? She was praying, okay? She would ask the Buddha to make her healthy. She could not go beyond that. But we all must remember that Amisa puja is a prerequisite. Amisa puja is not the end. I don't say that we should not do the Amisa puja. Of course we have to do that, because it paves the way for something else. But if people believe that this Amisa puja is the only thing, they have ignored the most important thing in the Buddha's teaching. One day, one monk came to Buddha, because Buddha had cured that person with treating well, and this Vakkali, this monk. And he saw the Buddha and Buddha's appearance. He bowed down in the Buddha's feet, and touching Buddha's feet, he started worshipping the Buddha. Then Buddha said, what is the meaning of what you are doing? If you see me properly, it means that you see the Dhamma. Yo Dhammang Passati, so Mang Passati. Yo Mang Passati, so Dhammang Passati. Dhamma is not to believe. Dhamma is to practice. That's the difference between some other religions and Buddha's teaching. Can you say that? Oh, I worship the Buddha every day. I bow down in front of the Buddha every day. I am a Buddhist. Of course you are not. You have to meet other criteria. You have to practice the Dhamma. If you practice the Dhamma, you are a real Buddhist. These rituals are prerequisites. They are essential, but they are inadequate. I want to repeat that word again. Rituals are essential, but rituals are inadequate. By following these rituals, we guide ourselves to the right path, which is the practice of the Dhamma. We have to practice this Dhamma in our day-to-day life. What are the practices that we should do in our day-to-day life? When it comes to sila, we have Panchasila, right? But on the other hand, this Panchasila is also something that looks like something is missing. Have you heard about Ajiva Attamaka Sila? What does this Ajiva Attamaka Sila means? It has some more. Actually, it has three more. What are these three more? Pisunavacha Veramani, Parusavacha Veramani, Sampapalapa Veramani, plus one more. Micha Achiva Veramani Sikkhapada Samadhyam. At some people say that you can observe this only one time, that's enough. But what I feel is that every Buddhist, in addition to reciting five precepts, have to recite others also. Because this is modern professionalism. At your workplace, at your offices, okay, wherever you in your college or in your school, Musavada is not enough. In modern day professionalism, professional training means you are encouraged not to talk. Parusavacha, Pisunavacha, Sampapalapa. All the problems in society arise because of these bad practices. What is Pisunavacha? Malicious. Somebody says something, you go behind and say that somebody else. The words that break relationships. Parusavacha means harsh, rough words. Sampapalapa is just talking nonsense. Okay. You are asked, we are asked at our workplaces to prevent speaking these things. Plus, Micha Ajiva. What is Micha Ajiva? In the Eightfold Path we have it, right? Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva. What is this Samma Ajiva means in your day life, day-to-day life? Not to deal with these few things. One is weapons, Don't sell weapons. Don't sell human beings. It was practiced those days. Slavery. Selling slaves. And don't sell meat. And don't sell intoxicants. And don't sell poison. Okay, so that is, if you practice this every day in your lot of time, in everyday life, you have covered all the basic areas in the Dhamma. So this is Dhamma, five precepts. So Panatipata, Adinnadana, Kamis Michachara, Musavada, Suramere, Musavada, Pisunavacha, Parusavacha, Sampapalapa, Michajiva. So that is what we should try to develop. So all these pujas, okay, we cannot defend pujas. Okay, so we will have a puja. We cannot entirely depend on pujas. Okay, by holding a puja, we believe that okay, by the power of this puja, may I go to Nibbana? May I go to Deva world? Tanha has three. What are these three? Kama Tanha is a desire for materialistic possessions and sensual gratification. What's the Bhava Tanha? Desire to be born. If you make an offering to the Buddha, it is and expect to be born in a better place. It's something like you are bribing the Buddha. I give this to the Buddha. May the Buddha give this. So we do the same thing in Devala. No? We buy some fruits and some lot of things, and we give to the Devas. Devas and expects, oh Devas, oh you get this one and give this me back. Something else. It's something like that. So the Buddhists are not deceiving themselves like that. Okay, you get the blessing. The best way a Buddhist can get the blessing is summarized in this particular line. Dhammo have rakkhate dhammachari. You get the blessing by practicing the Dhamma, not only by making offerings. Okay, so offering is of course a necessary thing. I don't say that it's not necessary. So every day in the morning when I leave, I do the same. Sometimes I don't have time to prepare flowers, gilampas and all the things, but every day I never forget to make an offering of water to the Buddha. Every day in the morning I make this offering in the Buddha's altar and bow down and stand up and meditate a few minutes before I leave. This is something I have done throughout my life. Even after I came here, this is something I do. So it has a meaning. It has a purpose. But it itself is not the end. So the end is always to practice the Dhamma. Practice the Dhamma will protect us more than anything else. So having said that, it's time for us to wind up this Dhamma discussion. So we will have one more Dhamma Desana next week. Okay, I think the sponsor is here. Yeah. We will have one more. That's the last Dhamma Desana during this fast season. And then we will have the cutting ceremony the following Saturday and Sunday. Having said that, let us come back to the purpose of this Dhamma Desana. As I previously mentioned, and Dinesh and Ursula, along with Samadhi, Siddhartha and Adish, you have with very good thoughts, very loving thoughts, kind thoughts, compassionate thoughts, and generous thoughts. You have sponsored today's Dhamma Desana, and also you are offering food to the people. Of course, others have participated. They are helping us. That's a great thing to see. Okay. As a community, we help each other. So you had the puja this morning, this evening, and then you had the listen to the Dhamma Desana, and now it's time for us to direct this energy to our purposes. So let us think about, first of all, Dinesh father, Mr. A.T. Jayalath, who passed away on 10/21/2010. So exactly 8 years ago. So let us invite him to appear here. If he is in a position to acquire these merits, so may he acquire these merits, and may he be rejoiced, may he be elated that his son and the family members are fulfilling one of the most important obligations a son should do towards a father. Okay. With the power of these merits, may he continue to be born in better places, human world, the Deva worlds, and eventually may he achieve the final bliss of Nibbana. Everybody keep palms together and say sadhu three times. So next, let us transfer merits to living relatives. So her parents, they are both alive.
Your parents passed away, right?
So Ursula's mother and father, okay. So it was not in my mind. So let us visualize your parents also. You know, your parents would be happy. Okay, so good things, as we said, it's whatever religious beliefs people have. Means that it's a good thoughts, means good thoughts. Good energy is good energy. Any karma, any action done with loving kindness, generous thoughts and wisdom is a wholesome act. It doesn't matter in whatever religion you are. So that wherever he and she exist, they will acquire this merit. So let us fondly and lovingly think about your mother and father. Believe that you are such a caring mother and father. I have noticed many times you are one of the most caring mothers that I have seen. So your mother and father could have been like that. So they have guided you, protected you, and very well to be successful in your education and in your profession, and to have such a beautiful family. So let us visualize both of them. May they be well, happy and peaceful in their after-death existence. So with that thought in your mind, once again everybody says sadhu three times. So we are also transferring merits to Dinesh mother. I said transfer merits means send the punya energy. So I met her in Sri Lanka and we traveled to several places with her. Yes, sorry for that. Actually, I didn't mean to transfer merits, rather transfer the good energy. Okay, energy to her. She is living. So may she acquire these merits. Okay, so may she have a healthy life, long, successful and happy, peaceful life. Okay, say sadhu once again. Yes. Okay, and then we want to invoke blessing upon the three children, particularly. So Samadhi and Siddhartha and Adish. Okay, the children are at tender age. Okay, so they go to school, they come to the ampasal and they play outside. So we need blessing and protection. Okay, so wherever you travel, wherever you are, whether at home or outside, at his school, okay, all the good things happen to you. The Buddha's blessing, the blessing and protection of the higher powers, Okay, with the power of all these higher powers, may you be blessed and protected. Okay, say sahadu once again. And also two of you at your work. Okay, at your workplace while traveling and driving. Okay, so may you be blessed and protected. And eventually, the punya we accumulated today be a part of our lives. May all of us, including Naikahamduro and Siriratana and Maitri, myself, we all be well, happy and peaceful. May all be well, happy and peaceful. May all of us be well, happy and peaceful. Sadhu.